From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Esa intervención del gobierno de Estados Unidos a Irak hace crecer el sentimiento, el pensamiento antiimperialista.
Helps anti-imperialist thinking and feeling to grow.
Evo Morales, the first indigenous president of Bolivia. Today we spend the hour with him talking about the Iraq War, indigenous rights, biofuels, establishing diplomatic relations with Iran, the enduring legacy of Che Guevara, and how to tackle climate change.
La madre tierra ni la vida pueden ser mercancía.
And neither the mother earth nor life can be a commodity.
Por tanto, estamos hablando de una... de un cambio profundo.
So we're talking about a profound change.
Repito, en el sistema y en el modelo.
In the economic models and systems.
Today, Bolivian President Evo Morales for the hour. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Auto Workers have reached a tentative deal with General Motors that would end the first national strike against an automaker in three decades. 73,000 workers walked off the job Monday. The United Auto Workers said it called the strike after GM refused to accept the union's demand to protect workers' jobs and benefits. Under the agreement, the union would run a health care program for retirees that General Motors would fund. No other details were released. In Burma, hundreds of monks and activists have been arrested in a crackdown on popular protests against military rule. The military junta has imposed a curfew and banned public gatherings following more than a week of demonstrations that drew tens of thousands into the streets. Earlier today, police fired tear gas as some 10,000 people defied the order with a march through the city of Rangoon. International pressure on the Burma regime is increasing. On Tuesday, President Bush said the U.S. would tighten economic sanctions.
Americans are outraged by the situation in Burma, where a military junta has imposed a 19-year reign of fear. The United States will tighten economic sanctions on the leaders of the regime and their financial backers. We will impose an expanded visa ban on those responsible for the most egregious violations of human rights.
The State Department is being accused of blocking a key congressional probe into the private military firm Blackwater USA. On Tuesday, House Oversight Chair Henry Waxman said the State Department had told Blackwater not to turn over documents without prior approval. Blackwater is under scrutiny after its forces killed at least 11 civilians last week in Baghdad. It's also under investigation for alleged weapons smuggling into Iraq. The State Department called Waxman's complaint a misunderstanding. Meanwhile, the Iraqi Interior Ministry has drafted legislation that would revoke the immunity of private military firms operating in Iraq. This is Interior Ministry spokesperson Abdul Karim Khalaf.
The Ministry of Interior has submitted legislation to the State Shura Council, and it will be passed to the Parliament. This legislation will cover everything to do with these companies. The companies will come under the grip of Iraqi law and will be monitored by the Ministry of Interior and will work under its supervision. They will be strictly punished for anything on the street, as we will put certain guidelines to the work of these companies.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki has called the Blackwater case a serious challenge to the sovereignty of Iraq. White House aides say Maliki briefly discussed Blackwater in a meeting with President Bush at the UN on Tuesday. The Bush administration has withdrawn its nomination of John Rizzo to become the top lawyer at the CIA. The move comes after Democrats raised concerns over Rizzo's stance on the torture of prisoners. Rizzo told a Senate hearing in June he supported the infamous 2002 Justice Department memo that said torture would not occur unless a prisoner experiences pain serious enough to cause organ failure or death. On Capitol Hill, the House has defied a veto threat from President Bush to pass a measure that would expand health insurance to millions of low-income children. The state child health insurance program, known as SCHIP, expires later this month. Lawmakers have proposed to spend $35 billion to cover an additional 4 million children. The money would come mostly through a tax increase on cigarettes. The House measure passed 265 to 159, short of the votes needed to override a presidential veto. The Senate is expected to take up the S-CHIP measure later this week. In other news from Washington, members of the Congressional Black Caucus met with the parents of Michael Bell, the African-American high school student jailed in the Gina 6 case. Bell remains in prison despite a court's ruling he was illegally tried as an adult. House Judiciary Chair John Conyers says he will press for Michael Bell's release. A gathering of world leaders for the opening of the General Assembly continues at the United Nations. On Tuesday, Cuba's delegation walked out of the General Assembly after President Bush called Fidel Castro a cruel dictator during his speech. In a statement, the Cuban government said, quote, Bush is responsible for the murder of over 600,000 civilians in Iraq. He is a criminal and has no moral authority or credibility to judge any other country. Cuba condemns and rejects every letter of his infamous tirade. That's the statement of the Cuban government. As Bush spoke, hundreds of people rallied outside against the Iraq war. A coalition of New York City grandmothers held a mock funeral procession for those who've died in Iraq since the U.S. invasion. This is protester Frances Golden.
I wouldn't miss a demonstration. I think we've got to end the war. I think we have to get out of Iraq. I think we have to get rid of the idiot president who doesn't represent me but is still in power.
Meanwhile, hundreds more turned out for a rally against Iran President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. This is protester Mohammed Souri.
He's just part of the system. It's the whole entire system is a regime of terror, death. I mean, that's pretty obvious by now to the rest of the world. And we are opposing not only Ahmadinejad, but the rest of the regime, all the mullahs, Khamenei, and the rest.
Inside the General Assembly, several Latin American leaders gave speeches focusing on climate change, poverty, and human rights. Meanwhile, Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega criticized the U.S. role in Latin America and the world.
We had the immigrants from Europe who came over here to mix with those people and to become, in turn, owners of what didn't belong to them. They robbed the original people of their rights and their cultures, and they imposed their culture and their interests, and that gave rise to what we see today. What we call the most exemplary democracy in the world is really tyranny. It is the most impressive and largest dictatorship that has ever existed, the Empire of North America.
And the Palestinian leader and physician Haider Abdel Shafi has died at the age of 88. Dr. Shafi led several Palestinian delegations to peace talks, including the 1991 Madrid conference and subsequent sessions in Washington. He left the negotiation process in protest of the Israeli government's refusal to agree to halting settlement construction in the occupied territories. Shafi was also a founder of the Palestine Red Crescent Society in Gaza. Democracy Now! Spoke to Haider Abdel Shafi in the midst of an Israeli attack on Gaza in May of 2004.
Our declared position that we accepted a state in the borders of 1967, it proves that we are conciliatory. We want peace. We don't want this confrontation that entails suffering on both sides. I think our position is very realistic, and I don't see why Israel comes up and makes. I know that, I mean, Israel is acting on the basis of the initial and Zionist claims that were voiced in the first Zionist conference. But it is time to realize that what was said in the first Zionist Congress is not workable. It entails the sacrifice of a whole population, Palestinians. And it's time that everybody sobers up and see the end of this terrible conflict that's going on.
Haider Abdel Shafi speaking in May of 2004. He died at his home in Gaza this week at the age of 88. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Today, a Democracy Now! Special. We spend the hour with Evo Morales, the first indigenous president of Bolivia. He traveled to New York this week, where he's scheduled to speak before the United Nations General Assembly today. On Monday, he addressed a high-level UN meeting on climate change, during which he accused what he called predatory capitalism of affecting the environment. Evo Morales first spoke before the UN General Assembly last year, where he dramatically brandished a coca leaf and vowed never to yield to U.S. pressure to criminalize coca production. Morales's rise to power began with his leadership of the coca growers union in Bolivia and his high-profile opposition to the U.S.-funded eradication of the coca crop. He helped to lead the street demonstrations by Indian and union groups that toppled the country's last two presidents. An Aymara Indian, Evo Morales became the country's first indigenous president when he was elected nearly 2 years ago, with more popular support than any Bolivian leader in decades. Since then, he's moved to nationalize Bolivia's oil and gas industry and is seeking a new constitution that would grant more power to Bolivia's indigenous majority. Today, we spend the hour with Evo Morales talking about indigenous rights, biofuels, the Iraq War, establishing diplomatic relations with Iran, and the enduring legacy of Che Guevara on Latin America. Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez and I sat down with President Morales at the Bolivian mission here in New York. I began by asking President Morales what his message is this year to the UN General Assembly.
Bueno, año pasado era una primera experiencia.
Last year was our first experience.
De mi presencia en Naciones Unidas como también en Estados Unidos.
My first time at the United Nations as well as my first time in the United States.
Y como la hoja de coca me hizo presidente, igualmente la lucha por la tierra y el movimiento indígena.
And as the coca leaf stands for and is symbolic of the struggle of the peoples for land and for their sovereignty.
Y por tanto tenía que asumir una responsabilidad de representar este sector. Por tanto tenía que asumir la responsabilidad de decir la verdad sobre estos temas que me llevaron a la presidencia.
So last time I was here, it was my responsibility to talk about how it is that I came to become president of Bolivia.
Y ahora, sobre todo comentar sobre los cambios
today,
en democracia, pacíficamente, de carácter cultural.
The most important thing is to talk about the changes that we're forging in democracy through this cultural and democratic revolution in my country.
Pero también expresar mi enorme preocupación
and at the same time share my enormous concern
sobre los problemas no de carácter regional, nacional, sino internacional, que es el tema del medio ambiente.
And to talk about things that are not just a regional or a local problem, but a global problem, and that's the environment.
One of the things that has happened, changes, obviously, is that just a few days ago, or about more than a week ago, the United Nations General Assembly passed an important declaration in terms of indigenous rights. Article 34, and specifically, says that indigenous peoples have rights to promote, develop, and maintain their institutional structures and their customs. How important is this to Bolivia in the current writing of the new constitution that you're involved in now?
Bueno, primero saludar, agradecer y felicitar a países que se sumaron a la aprobación esta declaración del derecho de los pueblos indígenas del mundo.
First of all, we'd like to salute, thank, and recognize the countries of the world that that approved and voted for this Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples.
Así como hace 50, 60 años recién, Naciones Unidas reconoció y aceptó la Declaración Universal de los Derechos Humanos.
Just as 50, 60 years ago, the United Nations, for the first time, recognized the Universal Declaration of
Human Rights. En América y otros continentes, después de más de 500 años, recién reconocen el derecho de los pueblos indígenas.
And it's only now, over 500 years later, that indigenous people's rights are being recognized.
Y lamento mucho, felizmente, muy pocos países no apoyaron esta declaración.
Happily, there were only a few countries that didn't support this declaration.
Esa declaración, quiero decir, al movimiento indígena y personalidades de las ciudades intelectuales, decirles que es un paso importante y que nuestras luchas, el apoyo que dieron al movimiento indígena no ha sido en vano.
And so I want to say to the indigenous peoples, but also to the other peoples who live in the cities, that this is a very important thing, that the struggle for indigenous peoples' rights has not been in vain.
¿Qué tan importante había sido organizarse, y mediante el diálogo, en debates permanentes, que duró 20 años, pero 20 años no en vano, ahora nos sentimos reconocidos como seres humanos, así como cualquier ser humano del planeta Tierra.
And it was very important to get organized, to mobilize. It took over 20 years, but working together, people were able to do this, to approve this declaration and establish that we are people that have rights just like anyone else on Earth.
En algunos países será para defender y reconocer el derecho de las minorías nacionales.
In some cases, it'll be to recognize the rights of minorities in some countries.
En mi país es para hacer respetar las mayorías.
In my country, it's to make sure that the majority is respected.
El respeto a sus estructuras, a sus organizaciones, será un aporte en el marco de una unidad nacional.
And it'll be respect for their institutions, for their structures, and this is an important contribution to unity within our country.
No porque tenemos una declaración.
But not because we have a declaration behind
us. Reconocida por las Naciones Unidas.
Recognized by the United Nations.
Va ver una actitud vengativa con otros compatriotas bolivianos y bolivianos.
It's important that even though this declaration exists, that doesn't mean that we as the majority are going to be vengeful or use this as the majority.
Ustedes quiero que sepan.
I want you all to know.
Mediante ustedes que sepa el pueblo norteamericano y el mundo entero, mediante los medios de comunicación.
Through the means of communication like yourself, I want the people of the United States and the people of the world to understand.
El movimiento indígena
that the indigenous
no es vengativo.
Is not vengeful.
Queremos vivir en unidad, respetando la diversidad y las diferencias que tenemos.
We want to live together respecting the difference and the diversity that we have.
Algunos compatriotas nuestros pensaron que ahora esta declaración reconoce el derecho de los pueblos indígenas, no solamente a la organización, no solamente a la estructura, sino el derecho a la tierra, el territorio, los recursos, la autodeterminación.
Some of the people in our country, when they saw that this declaration that came out, that's not just the declaration recognizing indigenous peoples, but also right to land, to self-determination.
Piensan que nos vamos a vengar.
They think that we're going to take a vengeful
attitude. Quiero decirles, jamás.
And I'm here to say, never.
What do you think the message was of the four countries that voted no? Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the United States.
Sería importante, no los países, sino sus gobernantes, sus embajadores o sus presidentes, reflexionen y que reconozcan el derecho de los pueblos indígenas.
It would be important for not the countries, but the people who lead those countries, their ambassadors, their leaders, to reflect and to embrace a recognition of indigenous people's rights.
Yo estoy convencido.
I'm convinced
que los pueblos indígenas es la reserva moral de la humanidad.
That indigenous peoples are the moral reserve of humanity.
Que no hay una mentalidad en el movimiento indígena de ser egoísta, individualista, ni personalista. Por tanto, no hay una mentalidad de acaparar riqueza en pocas manos.
So that amongst indigenous peoples, there's not a mentality of being individualist, personalist, or egotistical, and therefore there's not an attitude of trying to take over resources and control them for themselves.
Qué bueno sería los cuatro países o presidentes de cuatro países.
How nice it would be if those four countries, or better put, the presidents of those four countries.
Las fuerzas sociales, especialmente el movimiento indígena, juntarnos para salvar a la humanidad.
And along with the social forces, and especially the indigenous peoples, join together to save humanity.
But in practical terms, implementing this in your country is obviously creating many issues. You have 36 different nationalities among the native people. And the battle now, in the constitutional battle over whether you're going to have provincial autonomy or autonomy for these indigenous nations, how will that work itself out?
Primero, el diálogo y la concertación.
First of all, dialogue and concerting, coming together.
Es verdad, usted tiene razón que algunos pequeños grupos no todavía aceptan y entienden existe en mi país el racismo, la discriminación.
You're right, though, when you recognize that there are some small groups in my country that still don't recognize exclusion and racism as it exists in our country.
Por eso digo, no solamente con los países que apoyaron esta declaración, sino países no apoyaron juntos y juntarnos para apostar mediante el diálogo y la implementación correspondiente, pero sin discriminación, sin marginación a nadie.
And that's why I call on the countries that not only supported this declaration, but also the countries that didn't support this declaration to come together and move forwards to recognizing indigenous people's rights, but without excluding anyone.
Mi gobierno.
My government.
Va a garantizar las autonomías departamentales, pero también las autonomías provinciales y autonomías indígenas.
Will guarantee departmental or state-level autonomies, but also local-level autonomies and indigenous peoples' autonomies.
Mucho dependerá de la región donde esté, porque en algunos departamentos o estados, como llaman acá, serán autonomías departamentales y provinciales. Y en algunas regiones serán autonomías departamentales y autonomías indígenas. Es cómo juntarlas.
A lot will depend on the specificities of these different regions. Sometimes there will be regional autonomies and local autonomies. Sometimes there will be regional autonomies as well as indigenous autonomies. And we'll have to figure out how these different autonomies are going to work together.
Cuando nosotros reivindicamos al movimiento indígena originaria, esperar que algunos grupos protestaron.
When we made our initial demands as indigenous original peoples, there were people who reacted to and rejected our demands.
Pero yo quiero decirles,
but I want to tell these people now.
Algunos serán originarios milenarios y algunos originarios contemporáneos. Finalmente, todos somos de una madre tierra como es Bolivia.
And some people are originary from a place that dates back to 1,000 years. Some are much more contemporary, but we all have to learn how to live together.
Bolivian President Evo Morales will come back to our conversation in a minute.
Aymara, una kuna kanchi, abla ya la manta hatari kukuna, nu kanchi kai pika sa kunchi, waranka waranka wata manta pacha, chaira kutak ni wanchi, hai pas ni yu, runa kuna nispa, ni tak ang kanchi kuna chichu, ayu runa kuna kas kanchita, ar suski hi, suski chi, wita mi, suski winya, yasu ni ataki, winya kaka ni ataki, hani haniwa, hamda kas ni ataki, humas na yas, hachadar su ni ataki, hamda kasi nyalbi, ampi, Waranka 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 na kawa Waranka 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 na kawa Ay mar mar ka hawi lang pitu bakatari Uka suti na kakel kanya per karo kel kanyani Ay mara kecho hasar dar siwa Jamang bi hudas kiwa Ay mara kecho hasar dar siwa Jamang bi hudas kiwa Ay mara kecho hasar dar siwa Jamang bi hudas kiwa Nyapa tata kunan cikunaka Sape wanci sinci anjing kata Tukui kaca kata Hatung kata Wawas minko ya jenan citian
Wayne Rapp here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we return to our conversation with the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, he's addressing the United Nations General Assembly today. On Monday, he addressed a high-level UN meeting on climate change. Over 80 world leaders attended. President Bush did not. In it, Evo Morales spoke in his speech about Monday about referring to the need to prevent industrialized nations with their gas emissions from continuing harming the planet. Democracy Now!, Juan Gonzalez and I sat down with President Morales at the Bolivian mission. Juan asked President Morales about the issue of biofuels.
I'd like to ask you about the message that you're going to be bringing to the United Nations as well over the issue of the use of agricultural products for biofuels. That clearly in Brazil, President Lula has a different perspective. He is promoting the use of biofuels. What is your perspective on this issue?
Desde el momento que se habló bastante sobre biocombustible, ya empieza la especulación de la tierra.
From the time that biofuels were first talked about, we've seen a spiraling process of speculation in land.
Como también hay especulación en tema de trigo.
There's also speculation on grains like
wheat. No solamente a nivel regional, sino a nivel internacional.
Not only at the regional level within countries, but also internationally.
Por tanto, los productos agropecuarios empiezan a subir.
So, therefore, the cost of agricultural products rises.
Son los resultados desde el momento que se habló bastante de biocombustible.
And this is a product of that moment from which, going forward, people have been talking about biofuels.
Y personalmente, y nuestro movimiento está convencido.
And personally, in our movement as well, we're convinced.
Que no puede hacer que los productos agrícolas vayan para los automóviles.
The agricultural products should not be dedicated, directed towards automobiles, cars.
Y las tierras sean destinadas para las chatarras.
And that lands be dedicated towards...
Chatarras. Carros.
To old rusted vehicles.
Creo que primero es el ser humano
first
que los carros.
Before automobiles.
Y esa es nuestra diferencia.
And
y queremos debatirla.
And we want to debate this.
Pero no solamente queremos debatirlas como presidentes o como gobiernos.
But we don't want to debate it just as governments or presidents.
Queremos debatir con nuestros pueblos.
We want to debate with
con
our
nuestras
peoples,
fuerzas sociales.
With the social forces in our countries.
Inclusive yo me atrevería
and I would even dare to say,
en la región sudamericana
at the South American regional level,
someter a un referéndum del pueblo, de los pueblos de Sudamérica.
This to a referendum of the peoples of
que los pueblos digan sí o no sobre el biocombustible.
And let the people say yes or no to different biofuels.
Algo yo aprendí del subcomandante Marcos.
This is something that I've learned from subcomandante Marcos.
De sus mensajes.
From his messages.
Que es gobernar obedeciendo al pueblo.
That is to govern obeying the people.
Mandar respetando los planteamientos de las fuerzas sociales.
That means to govern, but respecting the different proposals that social forces put on the table.
Porque a veces, cuando hay una propuesta, los presidentes o gobiernos se disputan.
Because sometimes when a proposal is put on the table between presidents, arguments arise.
Y hasta a veces traen confusión dentro de los pueblos.
And this can even generate confusion amongst people sometimes.
Y por eso siento que es importante que el pueblo se decida con su voto si hay un referéndum sobre el biocombustible.
And that's why I consider it to be very important that people decide with their votes about, in a referendum about what the future of biofuels
is. Lo más democrático.
That would be the most democratic thing.
Mr. President, you've just established diplomatic relations with Iran. When the Iranian president Ahmadinejad leaves the United Nations General Assembly, New York, this week, he will first go to Bolivia. Why did you establish diplomatic relations?
Bueno, primero, nuestros pueblos somos de la cultura del diálogo.
First of all, it's important our peoples are from the culture of dialogue.
Así tenemos relaciones diplomáticas
so we
con
have diplomatic
Estados
relations
Unidos,
with the United States.
Como también tenemos relaciones diplomáticas con Cuba.
We have diplomatic relations with Cuba.
Así tenemos relaciones diplomáticas con Francia.
Just
tendremos
as we have diplomatic relations with France.
También tenemos relaciones diplomáticas con Irán.
And with Iran.
Pero fundamentalmente,
but above all,
relaciones diplomáticas por la vida.
Diplomatic relations for life.
Por la humanidad.
For humanity.
Por la paz con justicia social.
For peace with social justice.
En mi país.
In my country.
Va a seguir abriendo relaciones comerciales, diplomáticas.
We're going to be opening commercial and diplomatic relations.
Con países que podemos complementarnos para resolver los problemas sociales que tenemos.
To establish relationships of complementarity so that we can resolve the social and economic problems that
jamás
we confront.
Jamás mi país va a establecer relaciones diplomáticas para agredir.
We're never going to establish diplomatic relations to wage aggression or to hurt.
O para declarar guerra.
Or to declare wars.
O para carrera armamentista.
Or to get involved in arms races.
No somos de la cultura de la muerte.
We're not of the culture of death.
Y además de eso.
Moreover.
Respeto muchísimo la tecnología.
I respect the technology.
El desarrollo industrial en hidrocarburos.
The industrial development in the area of gas and oil. In Iran.
Y por eso hemos visto cómo trabajar en esos temas.
And that's what we've seen is interesting, that we can work together on these issues.
Reiterarles.
And I'd like to
jamás hemos pensado en otros temas.
We haven't ever thought about other issues in our relations.
Y que yo sepa, por lo menos, no es un país en este momento que mandan tropas para acabar vidas en ningún país.
As far as I know, it's not a country that's sending troops to end other people's lives in other countries.
Y admiro mucho a Cuba, por ejemplo, que mandan tropas para salvar vidas,
como los médicos cubanos. And I admire Cuba very much, for example, which sends people to other countries to help save lives.
Just to follow up on that point, has the United States weighed in? Has the United States responded to your diplomatic relations with Iran?
Solo para dar seguimiento a esa
pregunta. Do you think of the U.S. talking about perhaps attacking Iran?
Estados Unidos, ningún país puede sugerirnos ni observar ni reaccionar. Somos un país, aunque pequeño, pero nosotros nos desarrollamos en el marco de nuestra soberanía, en el marco de nuestra dignidad.
The United States nor any other country can observe or comment or have anything to say about the relationships that we have with any other countries. We're a small country, but we're a sovereign country with dignity, with the right to establish relations with whoever we want.
Si el gobierno de Estados Unidos reacciona,
if the United States government reacts,
seguramente pensando, sigue pensando que hayan, que tienen que ver en Latinoamérica países subordinados a Estados Unidos.
If they were to react, it would suggest that they are still thinking that Latin American countries need to be subordinate to the United States.
Felizmente en Latinoamérica ya hay países.
In Latin America,
hay países,
there are countries
con democracias liberadoras y no sometidas al imperio.
With democracies that are liberating democracies, not subordinate or democracies.
Your vice president has denounced U.S. funding of right-wing think tanks in Bolivia as intervening in internal affairs of your country.
Exministros, ex viceministros del gobierno de Gonzalo Sánchez Lozada, que se escapó a Estados Unidos.
Former ministers and vice ministers of the government of Gonzalo Sánchez de Lozada, who, as you know, escaped to the United States.
Del expresidente Banzer, que en paz descanse, como también de Tuto Quiroga.
And the former President Banzer, who may he rest in peace, as well as former President Tuto Quiroga.
Es financiado. ¿No?
These former ministers are financed
mediante fundaciones, ONGs,
through foundations and NGOs,
para crear ese contrapeso al gobierno de Estados Unidos, al gobierno de Evo Morales, perdón.
To the government of Evo Morales.
Es impresionante.
It's
quisiéramos
impressive.
Que cualquier cooperación sea transparente, que entre por el gobierno nacional, pero
and
eso
what we're
no
asking for is that all international cooperation be transparent, that it come through formally the central government.
What are those groups pushing for?
Primero, el plan que tiene la derecha, los neoliberales, los vendepatrias, como decimos allá.
First of all, these neoliberals, the right-wing organizations, the ones who sold out the country, as we say in Bolivia,
es desgastar la imagen de Evo Morales, especialmente.
Is to exhaust the image of Evo Morales, especially.
Y pues ese tiene un objetivo. Si quieren desgastar, es hasta acabar con el gobierno de Evo Morales.
And so they have an objective. If they want to exhaust Evo Morales, it's to be done with the government of Evo Morales.
Como circula en internet, en panfletos.
And these things circulate in the internet, in pamphlets.
Textualmente dicen, hay que tumbar a este indio de...
Text,
es difícil de pronunciar estas palabras.
Verbatim, they say, we have to overthrow this Indian and leave that blank, because I can't repeat those words on the radio.
I'd like to ask you about the student protests that broke out recently there, and the continuing battle over writing a new constitution. It's been more than 13 months, and the Constituent Assembly, I understand now, is going to start meeting again. But the battle, especially over this issue of the capital for Bolivia, what is the significance of the battle over whether Sucre or La Paz should be the capital of Bolivia?
Bolivia ha sido fundado el año 1825.
Bolivia was founded in 1825.
Del 8% de mestizos y criollos.
And the people who were participating, there were only 8% of the population. They were all mestizos or criollos.
Pero quienes batallaron por la independencia, por la liberación del yugo español, es el movimiento indígena, el 92% de los pueblos.
But who fought for the independence from Spain? It was that other 92%. It was the indigenous peoples.
Entonces ahora que hemos planteado para refundar indígenas, no indígenas, profesionales, no profesionales, pero una profunda transformación en democracia.
So we have proposed to refound the country, indigenous
pacífica
peoples,
cultural,
non-indigenous peoples, professional peoples, non-professional peoples, but to transform the country.
Y por tanto, hay sectores
Therefore, there are sectors
que intentan hacer fracasar la Asamblea Constituyente
that are seeking to undermine or make sure that the Constituent Assembly fails.
Yo diría los enemigos de esta transformación profunda y estructural, pero pacífica, entran a la Asamblea Constituyente, son constituyentes,
some of them have entered and are members of the Constituent Assembly.
Y durante todo este tiempo, desde el 6 de agosto del año pasado, intentaron hacer fracasar o cerrar la Asamblea Constituyente con autonomía, con dos tercios, ahora con la capitalía.
And have they've been working from the very beginning when the Constituent Assembly started on 6th of August 2006 to undermine the process through the demand for two-thirds, the demand for autonomy, and now the demand to move the capital of the country.
Este tema capitalía no es un problema nacional ni es un problema del gobierno, sino es un problema de dos departamentos.
This issue of where the capital is going to be located is not a national issue. It's not a problem for the government. It's an issue for just two departments.
Y familias que no quieren a su país.
And there are families that don't love their country.
Y familias que no están por las mayorías, por los despreciados que es el movimiento indígena,
and who are not working for the majorities, who are working for those people who have not been respected.
Se agarran de capitalía para hacer cerrar la Asamblea Constituyente.
They're talking about where the capital is going to be located as a tool to shut down the Constituent Assembly.
Vamos a ir apostando, primero como gobierno y segundo como movimiento indígena y movimiento popular para garantizar la Asamblea Constituyente.
But what are we working for? What are we betting on first as the government and also as the indigenous movement to make sure that the Constituent Assembly concludes successfully?
Es la mejor forma de encontrar unidad, justicia e igualdad en mi país.
It's the best way to find unity, equality, and justice, to forge that in my country.
Yo rescato las palabras de algún empresario boliviano.
And I'd like to remember the words of a businessman, actually, from Bolivia.
¿Qué decía antes de la Asamblea Constituyente?
What did he say before the Constituent Assembly?
Prefiero tener piedras en mi puerta que balas.
I'd rather have rocks in my door than bullets.
Es decir, prefiere movilizaciones con bloqueos de camino que guerrillas que paramilitares.
What does it mean that I would rather have these sorts of popular demonstrations and protests happening than a civil war,
entonces,
a fighting war with bullets?
Para que no haya piedras ni para que haya balas, es una transformación profunda, democrática, cultural, mediante la Asamblea Constituyente.
So that we now have neither the protests nor the shooting war with bullets, we're pursuing this deep structural transformation through a democratic process, which is the Constituent Assembly.
Y eso es mediante una nueva constitución política del Estado boliviano.
How are we doing this? Through the creation of writing a new constitution for the country.
Quién sabe, va a ser difícil que haya igualdad, pero achicar esas profundas asimetrías de familia a familia, de región a región.
Of course, it's going to be difficult to have equality, but to make those differences between people smaller is possible.
En algunas semanas dijeron que Evo no va a respetar la propiedad privada. Era otra bandera para hacer fracasar la Asamblea Constituyente.
Early in the process, only weeks into the process, they said that Evo Morales was not going to respect private property. That was another attack, another attempt to undermine and cause the Constituent Assembly to fail.
La gente pudiente estará ahí arriba. Nosotros queremos sacar a la gente de abajo, querer igualar con esfuerzo, con trabajo y con la redistribución de los recursos que vienen de los recursos naturales.
With the powerful people above, what we're trying to do is lift up the people, the humble people from below, and through the using the strategic natural resources that we have to put them on a more equal footing.
Y el otro tema que no aceptan, ¿cómo es posible llamado indio?
And the other thing they can't accept is how is it that what they call the Indians.
Primero, que sienta por su patria y que trabaje por su pueblo.
That they feel for the country and they're working for their people.
Y ese indio gobierne bien.
And that this Indian is governing well. This is something they can't tolerate.
Porque bien, dos datitos.
Two facts.
Bolivia, la penúltima vez que tenía superávit fiscal ha sido el año 1960 con el precio de este año.
The last time that Bolivia had a budget surplus was in the 1960s during a boom, a tin boom.
Más de 60 años, siempre con déficit fiscal.
And we've been over 60 years always with a fiscal deficit.
Año pasado, en mi primer año de gobierno, con superávit fiscal, después del año 1960.
For the first time, in my first year of government, we have a budget surplus.
Que las reservas internacionales Bolivia nunca pasaban $1,000 millones.
And Bolivia's international reserves never were more than $1 billion.
Este año pasamos ya
estamos acercamos a 5 mil millones de dólares de reservas internacionales.
And this year we're approaching $5 billion in international reserves.
La modificación a la ley de hidrocarburos que costó sangre.
And the modification of the hydrocarbons, gas, and oil law, which cost us
después,
blood.
Después la nacionalización.
Thereafter, the nationalization of gas and oil.
Ha permitido a Bolivia.
Has allowed Bolivia.
Mejorar los ingresos económicos para mi país.
So improve our revenues, state revenues for the country.
Ejemplo, el 2005 Bolivia An solo example. Recibía 300 millones de dólares.
In 2005, Bolivia only received $300 million.
300 millones de dólares el 2005.
$300 million in 2005 in revenues from state.
Este año vamos a recibir más de 2.000 millones de dólares.
And this year we're going to be receiving more than $2 billion in revenues from gas and oil.
Y eso no aceptan.
And this is something they can't accept.
Una clase política.
A political class.
Para ellos el gobierno era negocio.
For them, government was business.
Era enriquecimiento.
It was enrichment.
No aceptan que la imagen de Bolivia en este momento bajó tremendamente en tema de corrupción.
What they can't accept is that our corruption in Bolivia has been declining.
Antes Bolivia era considerado como subcampeón mundial de corrupción.
In the past, Bolivia was considered in the number two position in terms of the championship for the most corrupt country.
Muchos organismos internacionales dicen bajó la corrupción en Bolivia.
Many international institutions have recognized that corruption is on the decline in Bolivia.
Y no aceptan que llamando ese indio.
And what these groups don't pues, accept is that this what they call an indio.
Cambie Bolivia y dignifica Bolivia.
Can change Bolivia, bring dignity Bolivia.
Y cuando está así la situación, algunos sectores plantean la reelección de Evo Morales.
And in this situation, some sectors are talking about the re-election of Evo Morales.
En todo caso, eso hay que constitucionalizarlas.
And so this is something that would have to become constitutionally permitted.
Pero ¿qué dicen los opositores, los neoliberales, la derecha?
Dice, but what do the right, the neoliberal, the opposition say to this?
Todo podemos negociar, menos la reelección del indio.
And they say we can negotiate anything but not the re-election of this Indian.
Es el problema, no es el tema de capitalía.
This is the problem. It's not a problem of where the capital of the country is located.
Y no faltan, evidentemente, como usted dice, grupos, algunos grupos de estudiantes que vienen desde Santa Cruz a agitar desde Sucre.
And of course, the Neverlax groups, like the ones that you make reference to, that will travel from Santa Cruz to Sucre to agitate and to stir up these issues.
Bolivian President Evo Morales will return to the conclusion where he talks about the war in Iraq and the legacy of Che Guevara. Stay with us. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez as we return to our conversation with the Bolivian President Evo Morales. The Bolivian Supreme Court recently asked the government to start extradition proceedings for the former Bolivian President, Gonzalez Sanchez de Lozada, who lives here in the United States in Miami. They also asked for an order for him not to be allowed to go to another country, but to be sent back to Bolivia. I asked President Morales what the former president is guilty of and whether he thinks the United States will extradite him.
Bueno, primero, el gobierno de Estados Unidos no podía, no puede que delincuentes de cualquier país del mundo sean acogidas acá o acogerlas.
First of all, the United States cannot, should not receive, protect delinquents from any part of the world.
Los grandes delincuentes conocidos como Posada Carriles, ahora Gonzalo Sanlosada, esos colaboradores que un país democrático reconocíamos la hegemonía mundial, ¿no? De Estados Unidos, pues tengan que proteger, encubrir a los delincuentes.
It's unconscionable, is what he's saying, is that the United States, a democratic country, would be protecting international criminals like Posada Carriles.
El proceso es con dos temas. El tema de los derechos humanos.
The process has to do with two issues. First of all, human rights.
Y segundo, por daños económicos al Estado.
And second of all, for economic damages done to the state.
Entonces, quienes masacran a pueblos, quienes violan los derechos humanos y quienes hacen daño económico al Estado, pues tienen que ir a la cárcel.
So, people who massacre peoples that violate human rights and do economic damage to countries and their economies have to go to jail.
Estados Unidos no podía estar ahí protegiendo ni esperando cualquier proceso. Estados Unidos o el gobierno de Estados Unidos debería expulsar a estos delincuentes.
The United States shouldn't be sitting there waiting for a process to be put into motion, but rather should kick these people out so that they can be submitted to justice.
Ojalá respete las normas, esta decisión de la Corte Suprema de Justicia.
I hope the United States respects these norms and respects the decision of our Supreme Court.
Pero aquí tenemos una experiencia.
But here we have an experience.
Al último dictador militar,
the last military dictator,
se metió a la cárcel.
Was put to jail, sent to jail.
Desde ese momento, ningún militar ahora se atreve a hacer golpe de Estado.
And since that time in Bolivia, no member of the military dares to threaten a coup d'etat.
Un gobierno democrático que violó los derechos humanos, que hizo daño económico al Estado, también debe meterse a la cárcel para que nunca más los gobiernos democráticos violen los derechos humanos y trabajen contra la nación.
Likewise, any democratic government that violates human rights, that massacres people, or that does economic damage to the state should also be subject to these sorts of processes, and their leaders should be put in jail so that they never dare to do it again either.
Mr. President, you said a few moments ago that you'd rather have protesters throwing rocks than using guns. In a few weeks, it'll be the 40th anniversary of the death of Che Guevara. He died in Bolivia.
Él murió en Bolivia.
What is your, looking back at it, you were a child then, what is your sense of the legacy of Che Guevara to the people of Latin America?
Yo primero veo, seguramente en la década, tal vez 40, no tenía vida todavía, 50, 60, yo siento que por entonces los pueblos levantaban armas contra el imperio.
First of all, in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, of course, when I hadn't been born yet, my first perception is that people rose up in arms to struggle against the empire.
Ahora veo todo lo contrario.
Now I see quite the opposite.
Es el imperio quien levanta armas contra los pueblos.
It's the empire that's raising up arms against the peoples.
Yo siento que por entonces los pueblos que se organizaban en busca de justicia, igualdad,
that the peoples that got organized and struggled looking for justice.
Y ahora las transformaciones profundas se hacen en democracia.
And now I think that these transformations, these structural transformations, are being forged through democracies.
Desde estos dos puntos de vista, pues Che Guevara sigue siendo un símbolo que dio su vida por los pueblos.
And from these two points of view, Che Guevara continues to be a symbol of someone who gave his life for the people.
Cuando en Latinoamérica y en Bolivia imperaban las dictaduras militares.
When in Bolivia and in other countries around the world reigned military dictatorships.
Y no se puede entender después de 40 años el Che está en todo el mundo.
And so that's why it's amazing to see that all over the world Che Guevara is still there 40 years later.
Pero ahora estamos en otros tiempos, valorar ese pensamiento, esa lucha.
But now we're living other times, but to value and recognize that thinking, that struggle.
Y si valoramos, no es para seguir los pasos con un levantamiento armado.
And if we recognize it and we value it, that doesn't mean it means to mechanically follow the steps that he took in terms of military uprising.
Yo ahí respeto a Fidel Castro, por ejemplo.
And that's where, for example, I respect Fidel Castro.
El 2003.
In 2003.
He sido invitado a una conferencia en La Habana, Cuba.
I was invited to a conference in Havana, Cuba.
Y Fidel dijo lo siguiente.
And Fidel said the following.
No hagan lo que he hecho.
Don't do what I've done.
Hagan lo que está haciendo Chávez. Transformación.
Chávez is doing.
mediante la Asamblea Constituyente.
Transformations through a constituent assembly.
Como un buen maestro. Viene a la Asamblea Constituyente, aunque con problemas, debilidades en Bolivia, viene a la Asamblea Constituyente de Ecuador, que son transformaciones más pacíficas, más democráticas.
And these are good teachings, because we've seen the constituent assemblies in Venezuela, in Ecuador, and now in Bolivia as well, that through democracy we can achieve structural transformations.
What is the effect of the war on Iraq in Latin America, in Bolivia in particular?
Hay un sentimiento que permite el rechazo, el repudio.
That leads to the rejection, the repudiation.
Si el término más exacto, al gobierno de Estados Unidos.
Of the United States government.
Esa intervención del gobierno de Estados Unidos a Irak.
This intervention of the United States in
hace
Iraq
crecer el sentimiento, el pensamiento antiimperialista.
Helps anti-imperialist thinking and feeling to grow.
Su pretexto de lucha contra el terrorismo, de seguridad,
the pretext of fighting against terrorism and for security.
Se interviene para dejar tantos muertos, pero en el fondo es una cuestión netamente económica y política.
With this pretext, they intervene and create all these deaths, but there are also other issues, economic issues, underlying it.
Yo siento que no estamos en tiempos de seguir buscando cómo acabar con vidas, sino nuestra tarea debe ser cómo salvar vidas.
I feel that we're in a time of not looking to how to extinguish lives, but rather how to save lives.
I'd like to ask you about the issue of global warming. It's become a major, increasing discussion in many governments and around the world. From the perspective of the indigenous people of Bolivia, the future of the planet, and the what policies must be adopted, especially by the industrialized countries.
Si la globalización no admite la pluralidad ni la diferencia,
admit difference and pluralism.
Y sea una globalización selectiva.
If it's a selective globalization,
es casi imposible resolver el tema del medio ambiente, por tanto defender la humanidad.
Therefore, it will be almost impossible to resolve environmental issues and save humanity.
El mejor aporte que pueden hacer los pueblos indígenas es
the most important contribution that indigenous peoples can make
ese de vivir en armonía con la madre tierra.
Is to live in harmony with Mother Earth.
Decimos la madre tierra porque la tierra nos da vida.
We say the Mother Earth because the Earth gives us life.
Y la madre tierra ni la vida pueden ser mercancía.
And neither the Mother Earth nor life can be a commodity.
Por tanto, estamos hablando de un cambio profundo.
So we're talking about a profound change.
Repito, en el sistema y en el modelo.
In the economic models and systems.
Several years ago, Father Roy Bourgeois and others who founded the Anti-School of Americas movement at Fort Benning, Georgia, came and visited you in the palace and asked that Bolivia not send soldiers to train at what used to be called the School of the Americas, a place where Banzer, the dictator, had trained. Other countries are considering this ban. I think Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay, Costa Rica have said they won't send soldiers. Will Bolivia?
No solamente se trata de no enviar, sino que mejor sería cerrar esa Escuela de las Américas.
So it's not just a question of not sending people. Perhaps it would be better to shut the School of the Americas.
Pero entiendo también que es una forma de la sobrevivencia de un sistema y de un modelo.
But I understand it's also part of the survival and continuation of a model.
O crear cierta mentalidad intervencionista.
And to create a certain interventionist mindset.
I'd like to ask you perhaps a delicate question. You mentioned earlier your admiration for Fidel Castro. Fidel, before he stepped down, had been president for more than 40 years before he stepped down from day-to-day administration in the Cuban government. President Chavez now has been in office for 2 terms and is seeking to change the law to maintain himself in office. Do you think that the leader of a country, no matter how progressive, should have a limited amount of time and power?
el limitado no sería tan democrático.
¿Ilimitado, digo?
El limitado.
Sí.
Limitado no sería tan democrático.
To put those kinds of limits may not be the most democratic.
Aquí es importante la conciencia del pueblo.
Here what's important is the conscience of a people.
Y nuestra propuesta es que tiene que ver revocatorio como también ratificatorio.
And so our proposal is that there has to be a way to revoke leadership roles, but also to ratify leadership.
Alcaldes, gobernadores o prefectos o presidentes.
And this is for mayors, for governors, for region leaders, as well as for presidents.
Si tiene apoyo del pueblo,
if they have the support of the people,
pues tiene todo el derecho a ser ratificado.
Then they have every right to be ratified in power.
Y si alcaldes, prefectos, gobernadores o presidentes no tiene apoyo del pueblo, debe ser revocatorio antes de que cumpla su mandato.
And mayors, governors, and presidents, they can also be revoked. Their mandates can be revoked before they finish their terms, if that's the will of the people.
Yo inclusive estoy viendo en este momento.
In fact, I'm seeing at this point
que si uno se va a ratificar, pues hace buen trabajo, buena gestión y buena administración en su municipio, en la prefectura o en el, o puede ser en el país.
That through ratifying and returning people to power, it actually becomes an incentive for them to do a good and continue to do a good and better job in their municipalities at the departmental levels in the.
Porque el pueblo valorará su trabajo.
Because
va
the people
ratificado.
Have valued their work and that's why they've been ratified.
Pero cuando no hay ratificación.
But when they're not ratified,
dice, es mi oportunidad, por tanto roba, porque sabe que se va a ir después de cinco años.
They take advantage of that fact and they say, okay, I'm on my way out the door, so now's the time to steal as my mandate is ending.
What is your assessment of President Bush?
¿Cómo evalúa usted, Presidente Bush?
Bueno, primero no tengo por qué evaluar, yo respeto un país, su presidente.
Why would I have to evaluate President Bush? I respect your country.
Solo mi preocupación es que Irán no puede seguir una matanza un pueblo como Irán.
One concern that I have is that in Iraq, the massacre of the people cannot continue.
Yo siento que eso no solamente afecta a Presidente Bush ni al gobierno, sino a todos los norteamericanos.
I think that this is something that not only affects President Bush, but affects all the North American people.
Yo siento que este nuevo milenio,
I think that in this new millennium,
fundamentalmente debe estar orientada a defender la vida, a salvar la vida y no para acabar con vidas.
Fundamentally, it should be oriented towards saving lives and not ending lives.
Las diferencias continentales, regionales, nacionales, discutamos.
The differences continentally between countries, between regions, these should be discussed.
Como hace un momento decía, si no hay acuerdo entre presidentes, entre gobiernos, ¿por qué no someter a nuestros pueblos? El pueblo se decida.
And if there's not agreements between governments and their presidents, why not submit these issues to the peoples to be decided upon?
Sería la mejor forma de hacer democracia ahora.
This would be the best way to do democracy now.
Muchas gracias.
Bolivian President Evo Morales, he speaks today to the UN General Assembly. And that does it for our broadcast. If you'd like a DVD of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshoof, Abdel Kudus, Aaron Matei, Anjali Kamet, Jeffrey Hagerman, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Ricardo Lobo, Carrie Mache, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. Tomorrow night, I'll be at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You can check our website. DemocracyNow.org is that website. Also like to thank Becca Staley, Rebecca Silver, Samantha Chambly, John Randolph, Jose Miranda, Kieran Krug-Meadows, Maria Tancredi, and Rabia Algani, and Andalusia and all. DemocracyNow.org is the broadcast. We urge you to tell your friends about this show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.